You're listening to a message from The Gathering. Check us out on Facebook or our website at peopleintheircity.com. Now, prepare your heart for God to speak something powerful into your life.
All right, hey, turn in your Bibles or on your iPhones or if you have a Palm Pilot device, whatever you got, turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, and I'm just going to say it one more time. Welcome to The Gathering. And welcome on the greatest day of the year. We're going to have some fun today, family. And so, hey, I just want to let you know, we're going to have some fun next Sunday as well. Next Sunday, we are going to begin a brand new message series called Who We Are. And I'm telling you that now because many of us are new today. Again, welcome home. We're so glad you're here. Next week is the best week to come back and get in on the ground level at what's happening here at The Gathering through this next message series. And so I'm just going to be real straightforward with you this morning. We want you to come back. Yeah. And I'm going to be really bold now. Whether you realize it or not, I think you want to come back too. So we'll see you next Sunday, all right? But friends, today is Easter. Come on, yeah, somebody shout. We need to get excited. It's a big deal. In fact, it is the biggest deal of all. It is such a big deal that today we are actually joining together with at least a few other people around the globe to celebrate this day. Amen? Come on, there's an estimated 2.2 billion people who around the globe today are celebrating the same thing. His name is Jesus. And we're celebrating because he is alive. Do you understand that? And let me ask, is that why you showed up here this morning? Because you see, he was dead. And it's not like he died just any kind of death. He died the kind of death that nobody really just gets resuscitated from. Okay, it's not like he died a normal, everyday, like a casual death, or like where his heart just, you know, everything was going normal and his heart just stopped beating for a few minutes, and then the disciples and Peter, they jumped in and started doing CPR and brought him back. Besides, you know Peter's the last dude who's going to do mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, right? No, Jesus died a horrific death. He was dead for 3 days. They buried him in the grave, but by the power of God, he came back to life. And you see, that just doesn't happen that often. So when it does happen, and when it happens to the only man who's ever lived that's never once sinned, when it happens to a man who claimed to come from heaven, from a man who claimed to also be the Son of God, When it happens to the man who said in advance that he was coming to rescue God's people from their sins by giving his life as a sacrifice to pay for their sins, when that person comes back to life like he said he would, it's a big deal. That's how you get 2.2 billion people all around the globe to celebrate the very same thing on the same day. Is that why you're here? So let's just be totally honest this morning. There's probably a whole bunch of different motivations for why we are here this morning, and that's totally okay. And so listen, with much grace, let's just talk about some of those motivations this morning. Some of us are here because Jesus is alive, and he's given us a brand new life as well. In fact, we would even say, looking back on our lives before we met Jesus, we would look back and say, man, I felt dead back then. But Jesus makes us alive. So you couldn't stop us from celebrating. We can't get over Jesus. If that's you this morning, man, we are so glad you showed up. Some of us are here because our friends that can't get over Jesus, they invited us to show up here this morning. And I guarantee they are hoping that you will begin to feel and experience the same things that they're experiencing with Jesus. If that's you, we could not be more thrilled that you are here this morning. Some of us are here, and there's this sense of duty that we've had our whole lives. Maybe it's the way we were raised, and I can understand it, where it just, come on, it would be wrong to not be in church on Easter. Like, that's how we feel, right? We could not be more pumped up that you are here with us today. Some of us are here, and we're skeptical about Jesus. And we're not really sure if this whole Easter thing is actually a myth that some people in this day and age still just believe. but we're willing to find out if there's any truth. Man, I'll tell you, we could not be more elated to have you here if that's you. That means we're really excited. That's just a fancy word for that. Listen, no matter what your motivation is, we love you and Jesus loves you too. And here's the good news. The question this morning is not why did you show up? Here's the question this morning. How will you move forward today? In fact, that's the title of our message. How will you move forward from here? How will you move forward from here? How will you leave today? Will it be life as usual? Or is there a chance that the risen Jesus might just have something personally for you today? Is there a chance that Jesus may just change something in your life today because he is alive, because he is here right now, and you didn't catch him by surprise when you showed up? He's been staking out that seat next to you all week long. He's been so looking forward to hanging out with you today. He's been so looking forward to looking you in the eyes and smiling at you, and talking with you, speaking life into you. He's been patiently waiting to invite you to move forward with him in life like you never have before. How will you move forward from here today? How will you leave? Will it be with Jesus? And will you come back next week? All right, if you have your Bibles, open to Matthew 28. We're going to pick it up in verse 1. We're going to see for ourselves what happened on that first Easter and why it matters today, how it matters for us as we begin to move forward, okay? Now, let me just give you a tiny bit of background on what we're about to see. In Matthew chapter 27, just one chapter earlier, right after Jesus dies on the cross, there's some religious leaders. And these religious leaders are the same religious leaders who had opposed Jesus during his entire ministry. They're the same religious leaders who refused to believe in Jesus. And they're the same religious leaders that demanded that Jesus be crucified, okay? And so after he dies on the cross, they went to the Roman governor there in Jerusalem and they requested, they said, would you please send guards or Roman soldiers to guard the tomb of Jesus? Because they knew that Jesus had said before he died on the cross, Jesus had said, on the third day, I will rise again. I'm going to come back to life. Now, it's not because they actually believed Jesus, but they were worried that if the tomb was left unguarded, that Jesus' disciples would come in the middle of the night and steal his body and then tell everyone that Jesus had, in fact, risen from the dead, okay? It's going to be important to remember that because Matthew's going to give us more details on that story as we continue to read, all right? You guys ready to read your Bibles today? Come on, let's do it. Here we go, Matthew 28, verse 1. Matthew writes and says, early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, I love that, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Okay, I just want to point something out. They are on their way to the tomb. These two ladies are going to the tomb, okay? And these are two women that, along with Jesus' disciples, had followed Jesus, okay? Mary was a very common Jewish name back then. And Luke actually tells us that Jesus had cast out 7 demons from this woman, Mary Magdalene. So what do you think? In many ways, Jesus has already given this woman a brand new life. Amen? She's about to get more, though. Okay, so verse 2. Now, I want you to pay very close attention to what we are about to read, okay? It says, suddenly there was a great earthquake because an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. Kaboom! His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. And verse 4, watch closely, the guards, those Roman soldiers, shook with fear when they saw him. Notice that. They saw the angel. They witnessed the earthquake. They felt it. They saw the angel roll back the stone. And there's a good chance, based on what we're about to read here in a moment, they may have actually seen Jesus walk out of that tomb fully alive. So it says, the guards shook with fear when they saw him, the angel, and then they fell into a dead faint. They passed out. Now, don't miss this. Verse 5. Then, it says, then the angel spoke to the women. Do you see that? Here's the scene that these women showed up to. The soldiers are passed out. The stone is rolled back. The tomb is empty. And that angel is sitting up on that stone like a boss. Okay, so here's what you need to know. Two different groups of people witnessed this. There was one event that took place that day. The angel coming down, causing the earthquake, the stone being rolled away, Jesus exiting the tomb fully alive. That's what happened. One event. But there are two groups of people. The soldiers, the guards, saw what happened, and these women have now shown up and are seeing what's happened. Plus, the angel's even going to tell these women what just took place. Watch this. Don't be afraid, he said. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come see where his body was lying. In other words, church, he was dead. He ain't dead no more. He's alive. I just lost my place. I'm getting pumped up. All right. And now the angel says, go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you. So verse 8, the women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. Because Jesus is alive, and that's what the life of Jesus will fill you with. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. Come on, are these ladies not having the best day ever or what? Jesus is alive. It doesn't get any better than this. So again, watch closely what happens next. Here's their response to this event. It says, and they ran to him. Okay, this was not speed walking. This was not a brisk jog. It says they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshiped him. You guys see that? That was their response to this event. Then Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers, the disciples, to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there. Okay, again, listen, there was one event that took place that day at the tomb, but there were two different groups of people there, the women and the guards. We just saw how the women responded. They worshiped Jesus. And how could they not? I mean, they had followed him. They loved him. He'd already given them so much new life. But then they watched him die horrifically. And they couldn't comprehend the whole thing. Their best friend was now dead. Where there had once been hope, they suddenly found themselves filled with sadness, with fear, with emptiness, no sense of purpose, even depression. But then they get the best news of all time. Jesus didn't stay dead. God raised him up. And church, that changes everything. It changes everything. There's new life to be lived with Jesus. He's alive. And now they get to see him with their own eyes and touch him with their own hands. So again, where there was sadness, emptiness, depression, no purpose, fear, you name it, now there's true joy and there's life to be lived to the full with Jesus. He's alive. Again, that was their response. Now let's see how the guards respond. Verse 11, as the women were on their way, again, they're going to go tell the disciples about this event that just took place. As the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and told the leading priests what had happened. And now, listen, these leading priests are the same religious leaders who had demanded that Jesus be crucified. They're the same men who asked the Roman governor to station the guards at the tomb. And now listen, Now they've just been told about the event that just took place. Listen, they've just been told the truth. But verse 12, a meeting with the elders was called. The elders are the leaders of the religious leaders, okay? And now watch their response. They decided to give the soldiers a large bribe. They told the soldiers, "You must say Jesus' disciples came during the night while we were sleeping, and they stole his body. If the governor hears about it, we'll stand up for you so you won't get in trouble." So the guards accepted the bribe and said what they were told to say. In other words, they all lied. They all lied. And their story spread widely among the Jews, and they still tell it today. By the way, here's the irony. God's word, his law explicitly states that giving bribes to other people, accepting bribes, and lying, all three of those things are sin. And yet these men are supposed to be God's people. They're actually supposed to be the leaders of God's people. They're supposed to lead the way when it comes to loving and following and obeying God. Yet here they are, they're actively opposing God, and they're going to lead many other people to do the same thing. Friends, one more time. One event took place that day. Jesus Christ rose from the grave. Two different groups of people were there, and they both responded very differently to this one event. The question for us today is, how will we respond? How will we respond? Or I'll say it again this way. The question is not, why did you show up this morning? The question is, how will you move forward today after hearing the truth about what took place on this day? And listen, just to be really clear about this, do you see what these religious men and what these soldiers have done? Do you see their response? Do you see how utterly absurd their response to this event is? I don't know how else to say it. I was having my quiet time earlier this week, just reading my Bible in the morning, and this just happened to be what I was reading. And I came to this part where they gave the bribe, and they all just decided to lie about what they knew was the truth. And I just stopped. I couldn't even move forward for a little while. It just boggled my mind. Because here's what we just read, that suddenly there was a giant earthquake because an angel came down from heaven. He rolled back the stone, and then Jesus walked out of the tomb fully alive with a brand new resurrected body. The angel then sat on the stone, and the soldiers who witnessed this passed out from fear. And then when they woke up and Jesus and the angel were gone, then they went to the religious leaders who had hired them to guard the tomb, and they told them what they had just witnessed firsthand. They said, "Hey, do you remember that huge earthquake this morning?" And no doubt the religious leaders had felt it, because the tomb where Jesus was buried was right there in the vicinity of Jerusalem. So they're here to say, "Well," the soldier said, that earthquake, that was caused by an angel coming down out of heaven. He looked like lightning. He was wearing clothes that were white as snow. We watched him roll back the stone that was covering the entrance to Jesus' tomb. Jesus walked out of the grave fully alive. He looked amazing. He had some scars on his hands and his feet where we nailed him to the cross the other day. But otherwise, you'd never have known that we crucified him just a few days ago. He was looking good. And then that angel jumped up and took a seat on that stone, glanced in our direction, and at that point it was game over. We passed out. Come on, it said they told the religious leaders what had happened. They witnessed it, and now those religious leaders have just heard a firsthand account of what really took place. They've heard the truth. But friends, it gets even crazier than that. They knew that Jesus had said in advance that after I die on the cross, 3 days later, I will rise from the dead. And it just happened, and they know it. They can't deny it. There's no doubt that it happened. Jesus is alive, and they know it. But how do they respond to this event? They give the soldiers a large bribe and tell them to lie. Watch this. This is God's word as well. This is Exodus 23, verse 8. Okay, God is speaking to his people a long time before this. But I wonder if he didn't have this event in mind when he spoke to his people long before this. Here's what God says. He says, take no bribes. For watch this. A bribe makes you ignore something that you can clearly see. A bribe makes even a righteous person twist the truth. So they bribe, they lie, they plot, they scheme, they all throw their hands into the pile together and consciously, willingly decide to move forward in life as if the truth does not matter. They deceive themselves. They deny reality. They refuse to live according to the event that actually took place. They try to move on with life as if Jesus is still in the tomb when he's not, and they know it. And then they work hard to deceive others and try to convince others to live the same way. By the way, our nation is obsessed right now with trying to find evidence of collusion. I found evidence of the ultimate collusion right here. And let's just make sure we are completely understanding this, okay? Listen to me. Both groups actually witnessed two things. Both groups actually saw what happened on Friday when Jesus was killed. They watched him die. They were there when he was crucified. The women saw it. Roman soldiers were there. And even the religious leaders saw what happened that day. And then these two groups saw what happened on Sunday. Jesus, fully alive, outside of the tomb. One group, the women, go on to get filled with joy and true life and purpose through relationship with Jesus. They keep following him. The other group passes out from fear, and they go on to live lives with intentional self-delusion by deceiving themselves. One event, two groups of people, two groups of eyewitnesses, and two very different responses to that one event. And friends, listen to me. 2,000 years have passed since this event, but I want you to hear me. Time makes no difference. There are still two groups of people making these same two responses to this one event to this very day. There are people who hear the truth about Jesus, that he is alive, and they worship him. They start living life with him. They start a relationship with him. They start following him, and Jesus gives them brand new life as well, along with joy and true purpose. And then there are people who hear the truth today that Jesus is alive, and they try to move forward with life with little or no regard to the event that took place that day. They try to move on with life as if Jesus is still in the tomb, even though he's not. And deep down, I think everybody knows it. How will you move forward from here today? How will you leave? And will you come back? So listen, big time grace to everyone this morning, big time grace. But maybe up until this point in time, if you're truly honest with yourself this morning, maybe you've been living with little or no regard for the event that took place that day. Again, grace, we love you. Jesus loves you too. But will you begin to move forward with him today? How will you leave? If you don't currently have a church home, will you come back next Sunday? We really want you to. And look, whatever your response has been, Okay, and I, listen, whatever your response has been, I do want to be sensitive this morning to the reasons we have for the responses we've made in the past. Listen, for the first 24 years of my life, I lived with little to no regard for the event that took place this day. And I would have told you I was a Christian my whole life. Come on, I was born and raised in Newton, Kansas. We went to church every Sunday. We were in church every Wednesday. I would have told you I was a Christian my whole life. But here's the truth. My belief in Jesus, it really amounted to a thought process I kind of just kept tucked away in my brain. I really never allowed the truth of Easter to impact my heart, and I certainly never allowed the truth of this event, Easter morning, I never allowed it to impact my day-to-day living, the way I lived my life. You want to know why? Because I didn't want to change. I didn't want to change my life. I didn't want to change the way I lived, especially as I got older. And I'll just tell you, I got really tired of the idea of me trying to have to change so that God would love me. That's religion, and I got fed up with it. But still, it goes deeper than that. Above all, I really just wanted to be in control of my own life. I really just wanted to be the guy who got to call the shots. And so even though I knew some truth about Jesus, here's what I did. I deceived myself with the things that I wanted to chase in life. I kept going after all these things that I thought would bring me a sense of significance and purpose and joy and life. And it was that desire to be in control that blocked my heart from listening to the truth that there's actually someone way more qualified than I am to run my life. My heart never processed the fact that there is a man who has lived a sinless life and he conquered sin and death. He walked out of the grave fully alive and could therefore make me fully alive as well, give me a brand new life and the purpose and the joy that I had craved. Do you realize, friends, these are the same exact reasons these religious leaders so willingly denied reality? This is the same exact reason these soldiers were willing to deny what took place that day, because they did not want to change. They wanted to remain in control of their lives. They refused to process the truth that there was now someone else who was way more qualified to run their lives than they were. And so as for me, at the age of 24, after leading my life all those years, I woke up one day and realized how empty and lonely and purposeless, prideful, sinful I was becoming. I was chasing all the wrong things in life, trying to get this life, this joy, this fulfillment that I craved so badly, and I kept coming up short. And that's about the time that my good friend, his name is Kevin Regeer, he was actually here in First Service, he invited me to church with him. Just like a whole bunch of you guys were invited here to church today. So I went to church with him. And I walked in the doors, and I found myself surrounded by a bunch of people that had made a different response than I had up to that point. I found myself surrounded by a bunch of people that, man, they were worshiping Jesus. And they weren't perfect, but it was obvious they loved Jesus. It was obvious that Jesus loved them. And I remember saying this to myself that day. I said, these people have something that I don't have, and I want it. So do you know what I did? I came back to church the next week. Listen, I'm not kidding. By the grace of God, that is probably one of the best decisions that Jesus has ever helped me make. I came back to church the very next week, and that very next Sunday, at the end of the message, the pastor had been preaching, and he just said this. He said, there are people in this room who have known about God their entire lives, but they've never known Him. He said, there are people in this room who have called Jesus Lord, but they've never let him be their Lord. And friends, I'm telling you, it was like the Holy Spirit and Jesus had staked out the seats next to me, and they were leaning in saying, Brandon, that's you. Come on, that's you. And so, church, that was the day. For the first time in my life, I truly made the decision to move forward with Jesus. And I prayed that day. I got down on my knees when I got home that day, and I prayed. Here's what I prayed. I said, Jesus, I want the life that only you can give me. I said, I've been leading my own life for all these years, and I'm making a mess. I'm miserable. I want the life that only you can give me. I said, Jesus, I want you to be in control of my life. Here's my life. I'm giving it into your hands. Please take it. Please be in charge. Please fill me up. Give me everything you want to give me. Change me the way you want to change me. And church, I'm not kidding. When I got off my knees that day, it's hard to describe, but when I got off my knees, man, my life, my heart just began to fill up with a joy that I can hardly describe. By the grace of God, here was my response that day. I began to worship Jesus. I began to do life with Jesus. I started a relationship with Jesus. And so listen, you need to hear me this morning. I lived for the longest time not wanting to change. Many of us don't want to change. Here is the truth, though. I didn't change my life. Jesus changed me. With, again, much grace, and I'm telling you, much understanding this morning. There are some of us that showed up this morning, and we haven't been to church regularly in a long time. Total grace, I promise. But we also probably walked in this morning, and we said, I'll come to Easter, but we don't have plans to go to church on a regular basis, even after today. I'm telling you, total grace, and I can understand why, because I think a lot of us think that going to church means we have to change. I think a lot of us think that I'm going to have to stop doing things I don't want to stop, and I'm going to have to start doing things I don't want to start doing. That's religion. That's what I got fed up with. Religion always demands that you change. And religion always puts it all on you to change. And if you don't change, if you don't start being good enough, talking in the right way, looking the right way, acting the right way, then you're not going to be good enough, and God isn't going to love you. Listen, that's a good choice to not want to show up for that junk. No, don't do that. Listen, and I think especially here in Newton, okay? Again, speaking from experience, okay? That's so much of the church experience I think so many of us had. Friends, there is a heavy cloud of religion that hangs over this town. But it's beginning to break up. A new day is dawning. And we're not doing religion around here. Here's what we're going after. We say it this way: Newton reborn, a people and their city revived, rebuilt, and renewed by Jesus for his glory. We're talking about coming alive through relationship with Jesus and his people. And so listen to me. We're not asking you to change anything. We're not asking you to try to change anything about yourself. In fact, don't. We really like you. Here's all we're asking. Come back here with us and start to get to know Jesus. Come back here next Sunday and worship Jesus with us. Make the decision now to move forward with Jesus in life and receive the life from him like only he can give. So yes, listen, many of us here at the gathering live different lives than we used to, but I'm telling you, it's not because we changed, it's because Jesus changed us, and we can't get enough of it. We want more of it. We love what God is doing in our lives, and we can't keep it to ourselves. We want to share it with everybody we know. We can't get over Jesus, and I guarantee if you make the decision to start moving forward with him, you won't be able to get over him either. Plus, listen, the truth is, even though on our own we don't like to change, and so often it's just too hard for us to try to change, I do believe if we are honest with ourselves, we are all craving the life that only Jesus can give us. Listen to me very carefully. Every human being wants a miraculous encounter with the living God. So there are people here right now, and listen, perhaps your friends, perhaps your family, maybe they don't even know this about you. But behind closed doors right now, you're just like I was. You're unhappy. You're lonely. You're empty. I got some good news this morning. Jesus really did walk out of that grave. There really is a resurrection from the dead, and I'm telling you, Jesus walked out of that grave, and if you make the decision to move forward with him, so can you. You might be here today, and maybe nobody knows this about you. Maybe there's depression. Maybe you are here, and nobody has any idea about this, but between you and your spouse, your marriage is in turmoil, and you feel miserable. I got good news for you today. There really is a resurrection. Jesus Christ walked out of that grave, and if you will make the decision to move forward with him, so can you. Maybe you're sick. Maybe you're afraid. Maybe you're brokenhearted. Maybe you wish there was more to life. Maybe you're in an abusive relationship. Maybe you're in financial difficulty. Maybe you wish you didn't feel the way you feel. Maybe you wish you could stop drinking. Maybe you wish you could stop looking at those things on your computer screen. Maybe you feel completely unloved. I've got good news for you. There is a resurrection from the dead. This event really did take place that day. Jesus Christ walked out of that grave, and if you will make the decision to move forward with him today, you can too. The question is not why you showed up today. The question is how will you move forward from here? I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Let's pray together. How will you move forward with Jesus today? What will your response be to him even right now? What's the Holy Spirit saying to you right now? I guarantee he staked out that seat next to you. What's he saying to you right now? How do you need to respond to him? There are people in this room, again, with so much grace, but just like I was, and we've known about God our entire lives, but we've never actually known him. There are people in this room that have called Jesus Lord, but we've never actually let him be our Lord. Some of you want brand new life today. Some of you want it. All of us need it. Some of you want it today. You can have it. You can make the decision right now. Jesus, I want to put my life in your hands. Jesus, I want to move forward with you. I don't want to go back the way I was living before. God, I want to move forward with you. How do we do that? Around here, we say we put our faith in Jesus. We say this. We say we make the decision to trust in, commit to, and rely upon Jesus with our lives. It's about relationship. You're starting a relationship with Jesus. Come on. You would never say, I'm going to trust in, commit to, and rely upon someone that you've never met or you wouldn't plan on being in relationship with. And listen to me, Jesus can handle it. Jesus, better than anyone else, can handle your trust and your commitment and the way you're going to rely upon him. Paul writes in Romans 3:23, he says, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. He says, and this is true of everyone who believes, no matter who we are. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how bad that sin has been or how good you've tried to be. What matters is that Jesus Christ really did live the sinless life, and he loved you and me so much he was willing then to take his sinless life and die on the cross for us to pay the penalty for our sins so that we get to go free. He was buried in the grave for 3 days. But again, I'm telling you, when you've never sinned, the grave can't hold you. And by the power of God, he was raised to new life. He now has new life. He's full of new life. He can impart new life to any and every person that would say, Jesus, I'm going to trust in, commit to, and rely upon you. I'm going with you. Let's do life together. Come on, do you need to make that decision today? And maybe you made that decision in the past, but you've walked away. Do you need to come home today? I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you or anything. I'm not going to make you raise your hand or come forward or anything. I want to pray for you, and I want you to pray. Let's talk to Jesus as well. Come on, if you need to make that decision, just pray with me. Just, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I want the life that only you can give me. Jesus, I'm making the decision right now to put my life in your hands. I don't want to go back. And so I'm saying, Jesus, will you be in control of my life? Can we have a relationship together? Will you fill me up? Jesus, give me your Holy Spirit. Give me everything that you want to have for me. I want what you want for my life. I'm making the decision to move forward with you, Jesus, from here on out. Church, I'm telling you, if you are praying that and you mean it, the Bible says that God makes us a brand new creation. That's that brand new life I'm talking about. I want to pray for you again. If you've been praying that, I want to pray for you. But listen, I also want to encourage you. If you just prayed that prayer, man, make the decision now to come back next week. Jesus knows we need each other. He's given us to each other. We say this all the time. We are better together. We're discovering together how to follow Jesus and how to love him more and more. Listen, I'll be honest. I stink at doing that by myself. I need help. You do too. Make the decision now to come back next week. Jesus, thank you so much for all the decisions that are being made in this room right now. Thank you for the prayers that are going up. Thank you for the new life that's getting poured into people's lives right now. I pray, Lord, you would seal this work. I pray you would put your hand on every person. I pray you would go with us. I pray we would be different because of you, not because we can change ourselves, but Jesus, you're the one who changes us. And I pray you'd bring us back together, Lord, that we would be surrounded by your people, that we would be a part of your family. Lord Jesus, thank you for Easter. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you don't give up on us. Thank you that you are the God who rescues his people. We love you. We choose to worship you. And Jesus, it's in your name we pray.
Thanks for joining us today. Please know you're always welcome to worship with us on Sunday mornings. Also, if you would like to give to our ministry, you can go to our website at apeopleinthercity.com. We hope to see you soon, and God bless.